Welcome back to another year of our podcasting in regards to the PGA Merchandise Show, which both of us attended last week. And obviously, it's in two parts. We have a demo day first at the driving range, and then we have our time that we spend on the convention floor over at the Orange County Convention Center. And we'll start with demo day. The main entrance sort of takes you right in and walks you right up to the space that our Chicago-based Wilson Golf has. And what was your reaction to the Wilson space this year? Seemed to be a little bigger than last year, and obviously they're touting the brand new driver, winner of Driver versus Driver 2, the Cortex, complete with not only golf president Tim Clark, but winner Evan Hoffman there as well.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was a highlight of the demo day, to be honest with you. I mean, you're barely in a few steps, and there's Wilson, and Tim Clark is very excited about, and he should be, about what winning the awards, the Business Achievement Award, the top honor really given out at the Industry Honors event put on by the International Network of Golf. What was intriguing is that their promotion in their booth was not for matching drivers against drivers. It was 7-iron versus 7-iron. So I'm wondering if that might be his next promotion. It seems like it's a little off the wall, but it there's no reason it couldn't be done. I talked to him about that. They hadn't made any decision about the next show, other than the fact that there will be one, but it won't be determined for another probably 2 or 3 months. And it might not be driver versus driver, but it's hard to imagine. That's hard to imagine it to be something. Just what else it could be.
Len, what I found interesting that Tim Clark talked about was that the initial run of all the drivers that they made have been sold out already. They're already back and reloading a second batch due to the success of the Cortex already. So not being hung up by the USGA this time around, sales were strong, up over 15%, according to Tim Clark. And with them being able to sell through the holiday season, the initial run of Cortexes all flew off the shelves to golfers around the country.
Yeah, I think another year of driver versus driver would certainly not be a bad idea. Tim was making a good point. The first year, he felt, and he was being candid about it, that only really two drivers had a chance to win. And this year there were four, which means that it brought out people in that engineering field who like to design golf clubs. More of them became aware of this contest and got involved in it and saw the value in it. And I can only see that growing. I think it's good for the whole industry, not just Wilson.
Wilson, obviously, is a Chicago-based company, but they are not the only company in Chicago that's making golf clubs that's really starting to get a presence in the golf market, and the Batavia-based Tour Edge is out there, and people are really catching on to their line of exotics. It was nice to see that they've got endorsement deals with six players now on the Champions Tour, including people like Tom Lehman and Scott McCarron, who's been one of the hottest players for the last couple of years. And I saw him over at their booth with company president David Glad, and talked to Scott a little bit. He's really excited to be with them, and he says that their products are really helping keep his game in shape out on the PGA Champions Tour.
Hey, you know, that was a stroke of genius by David Glad in getting a, you know, 4 years ago, there were no tour players using, they may have been using Tour Edge clubs, but only because of just for their own benefit. Nobody was under contract. You know, David slowly added players, and he really has come across with, you know, Tom Lehman. I mean, that's as good as you get out there.
Rocco Mediate, who's...
Rocco Mediate apparently is going to be the next official one. But I mean, those guys certainly bring value to an endorsement, without question. They have better name recognition than some of the tour players who have already have endorsement contracts. So they've called attention to what's always been Tour Edge has been around over 30 years, and David Glott is certainly an experienced, capable designer of golf clubs. But they needed somebody to bring more attention to what they're doing, and hooking up with Champions Tour guys was a real good idea.
Well, Len, moving beyond the local equipment companies, the other talk of the equipment industry was, number one, the lack of presence from TaylorMade, who apparently is going to release some things as the calendar moves on in 2019. The story is that they were afraid their presence there would lead to leaks of information what they are doing, so they stayed away. I can't see how that benefits your business. I can't see if you're a TaylorMade staff professional and you go to the show and you fly in from another state and you go there and the company you represent doesn't show up at the biggest golf show of the year, I think that sends a bad message. It also reflects on the opportunity for the company to make new contacts and possibly down the road have their product in even more pro shops or golf stores around the country. What I did think the show did very well is they took a few other equipment companies, and Wilson was one of them, that went into the space where TaylorMade was last year. Wilson moves out of that little conference room. They move in, and they're shoulder to shoulder with Titleist and Ping, and they're in there taking up that space, and I thought the show moved them in very nicely.
Yeah, TaylorMade, there's more to that story with TaylorMade, I'm sure. You can spin that all kinds of different ways. They've been such a high profile end for that show for so long that just dropping out of it, you can say, well, they didn't need it, or you could say they have been signing some good players. They got Ricky Fowler. I mean, so they haven't been backing off. On the other hand, that show's an expensive one for a company like TaylorMade to go to, because it requires so much to do what they have been doing. Such a big booth with so many people, you could weigh it as a business decision. All kinds of factors with TaylorMade. I will say this: I don't know that they were really missed. I thought they would be. I mean, they put a lot of glitz into their previous previous shows, but they weren't really.
But with some of the other companies coming back, like Mizuno,
and others
that hadn't been there in years coming back in, and other companies expanding their space, I just think it was a bad business decision by TaylorMade not to be there.
Who knows? You have to see what their bottom line is at the end of the year. That's what that's all about.
On the other side of things, obviously the flagship companies were Titleist and Callaway. Titleist did a couple of things. They say they've improved the Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf ball. Bob Vokey did a couple of things finish-wise with his wedges, and apparently has more coming out this fall, the next line of Vokeys, whatever it is they're going to call them. And then Callaway, the new Epic Flash driver, their third driver in 3 years, but they're saying it's by far even a much better driver than what they put out last year, the Rogue, which was very popular. So, you know, there'll be some interesting talk about that, but, you know, if you're a Callaway player and you like to get the latest and greatest, you're springing for three drivers in 3 years, even though the product is, I had a chance to hit the Epic Flash. I think it's a great driver, and the upgrades to their ERC soft golf ball are pretty darn good. I played it on some really cold days in North Carolina coming down here, and that golf ball had a lot of jump to it.
Yeah, Callaway, no question. Callaway is, they've been doing some great things for a lot of years now. An aside here is kind of interesting to just think about it. Imagine that show. Taylor, it was a big deal, made the TaylorMade, wasn't it, this show? Which, I poo-poo it a little bit. But imagine what the show would be like if Titleist wasn't there. I mean, that would be the one that would really open some eyes.
Yeah.
Not that I can see it happening or had any indication of it, but a Titleist absence would be much more significant and much more heavily felt than a TaylorMade, or really, I can't think of any other company that in that show that could have the impact that Titleist would have.
Len, two other things that really jumped out at me. First of all was the presence of Topgolf and Top Tracer, not only at Demo Day, but within the convention center itself, and the lines of people that were waiting to meet with the Top Tracer representatives. We've seen the buzz at Mistwood and in the Mistwood Golf Dome. We know there's a new Topgolf going up in Schaumburg, but I'll tell you what, Topgolf is really opening the eyes of golf facilities across the country.
Yeah, Topgolf is the number one news story in golf by far. That that company has just taken off. The Tracer technology is very good, but you know it'll always be, you know, it's something to follow in its way. I mean, it's great that Mistwood has it in Chicago, and it'll be good for Mistwood and all the way around. But Topgolf is just growing so fast, and it's bringing a whole new element into golf. It's I can't say enough for them. When I first visited their place, it was several years ago. You know, I kind of looked on it as an attempt at bringing golf to bowling. It had that kind of an atmosphere to it. It turned, and it does, but it turns out that isn't all bad. My first visit there, I'm thinking, well, it's just a driving range. You hit the ball, but you, once you get into it, it can get into your head, and it brings in all kinds of people, opens the door for all kinds of people to learn how to hit a golf ball.
Len, the other area that looked like it really had a lot of growth happening this year was golf shoes. FootJoy with new shoes, Callaway with new shoes, New Balance with new shoes, Adidas with new shoes, and all of the major shoemakers out there were out there with new models, new lines this year. Now, of course, the look is, can we make them lighter? Can we help you keep your foot drier on wetter days on the golf course? There's, you know, are we going spikeless or are we going with spikes? Regardless of what it is, it was amazing to see the changes and the new amount of models that were actually out there on the market this year.
You know, it's true. No question about that. The one thing about that, about the shoes, though, is the best advertisement remains one that's been out there a few years with Matt Kuchar and Skechers. I mean, he kind of dominates the shoe advertising line of golf equipment that I can see. But yeah, that was interesting. I've always kind of looked on FootJoy as being the, to me, that's always been the top of the line on shoes. I mean, you could change your opinion year to year, of course, but to me, FootJoy is almost like Titleist is in its own world, its smaller version, but you know, but the Kuchar ads are still way above all the others. No one come close to rivaling that one.
Yeah, what's interesting is how New Balance has grown, and Len, as somebody who's running some marathons in your life, New Balance was a runner's shoe, but they have really updated themselves when it comes to the golf market, and in addition, you know, nowadays with walking is so popular, Whistling Straits, Pinehurst 2, the different Mike Kaiser facilities, Bandon Dunes and Sand Valley, you know, you're seeing people that are out there on their feet all day, or, you know, if they're going 36 holes or they're playing at a full 18, and then playing one of the short courses, you're out there on the golf course walking around all day. You need some comfortable golf shoes.
Yeah, you know, and I hope that triggers a move back to more walking golf. Here in Florida, I mean, Stream Song's it. You don't walk these courses around here. It's not like you couldn't. It's not like, you know, I'm talking all the courses, both from PGA Golf Club here and its three courses, to all the public courses that are around. You just don't want, it's kind of ingrained, it's gotten ingrained in people that you take a cart now. And back in Illinois, of course, you and I both know that it's not really a problem to walk over there. You want to do it a lot, as much as you can. I, as a member at Stonehenge for over 30 years, that was a place you walked. It was great to play walking golf. And I hope that the development of these new shoes is for more than just a style, more than just for style. I hope it does encourage people and courses to open themselves up to walking again, because really, you know, that's the way the game should be played.
And then finally, on the apparel and accessory front, I didn't really see much in the line of golf bags, really. But what we did see this year was there are some changes on the apparel scene with color schemes being different again. That bounces back and forth from louder, brighter, to darker, more conservative. It seems like there's different, I believe they call it pastels, that are going to be out this year as we get into spring and summer. And also what we're seeing now is a few new sunglass companies. It's not just about Maui Jim or Oakley's anymore. Peak Vision was there. Henrik Stenson has come out with his own line of sunglasses. Greg Norman now has sunglasses. And, you know, David Feaser's group from Myrtle Beach that's got Peak Vision out there, they are really making a dent in the market. I'm not sure if you got to see their product or not, but it's amazing the amount of golf-styled sunglasses that are coming out, so that players can keep them on while they're playing, not have to flip them up on their head every time they putt, and they're comfortable and stylish both on and off the golf courses.
Yeah, taking that another level in another area, this was kind of interesting. We just got off the subject of walking and how I'm all for it and all that, but I saw three things in the way of on-course transportation that really caught my eye. One, the one that was the best, was it was made by a European company. It was a golf cart that, push-pull cart, that was, I was amazed at how light it was and how collapsible it was. I mean, I want to say about 2 feet by 3 feet once it's collapsed. And you know, it was very tiny, very outstanding engineering thing. Then there was the improvement with the golf boards. Now, my first experience and only experience with the golf boards wasn't very good. I took a tumble, and I don't know. I still am a little surprised, and I'm not alone in feeling this way, that it's kind of surprising that courses are allowing them out. Course owners would allow them out there from, not that they're not fun, but there's a danger element to them that maybe golf doesn't need. But the third thing, and I didn't see much of this other than at the Tour Edge Media Day on Monday, but there was kind of a moped type of golf transportation that looked more promising, really, than the golf boards. I mean, it was it would seem to. I don't know that the super. I'd be interested in seeing what the superintendents think of that, whether they think it can do damage to their course. But it certainly speeded up the game, and it added a new kind of a new dimension to getting around a golf course. I think it's worth looking at.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed listening to Len and Rory reviewing the 2019 PGA Merchandise Show, and we hope you'll click on for part two of our podcast when we take a look at the golf season in the Chicagoland area for the year 2019. Thanks for listening.